And good afternoon, and welcome to this edition of your radio magazine, Voices of the Tri-States. Well, it is the Lent season for those who are Christian out there, and that means a lot of fish on Friday, and kicked it off last Wednesday, of course, with Ash Wednesday. But that being said, we thought it might be interesting to take a look at some of the benefits and some other maybe interesting facts and things on fish and seafood and what they mean to those who are ingesting them. Joining me by phone, I have Unity Point registered dietitian Miriam Trautner. And with that, Miriam, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here today.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, Miriam, let's first start out with your job as dietitian. I would imagine maybe some folks haven't thought about adding seafood and some fish to their diet. Is that something that when you have a patient or someone that's coming to you that you said, hey, have you taken a look at that? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I would say most people have this idea that fish is good for them and they should add more fish into their diet. I talk to a lot of people with heart disease or post-stroke, and a lot of the recommendations for increasing some of those heart-healthy oils, fish is generally listed as one of those strategies. So I think a lot of people kind of have this idea that fish is healthy and I should incorporate more fish into my diet. But a lot of times I find people struggle with knowing what they should incorporate, how they should incorporate fish into their diet.
Because I think sometimes if you don't do it right, you know, your deep fried shrimp and lobster and lots of butter, boy, it sounds real good, but maybe that's not the heart healthy stuff we're talking about.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So a lot of times people enjoy fried fish, especially during this time of the year with all the Lenten fish fries we see around town. Unfortunately, that type of fish not only doesn't contain a lot of those heart-healthy omega-3 fats that we're encouraging people to consume more of, but they also contain more of those unhealthy fats, especially from that frying process. And so kind of educating individuals on that fish is fine, fish is good, we want to incorporate more of it, but the way in which you prepare it is essential to your better health.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. If, say, I came in to your office and it's like, well, I do want to incorporate more of this into my diet, what kinds of things would you tell them?
Yeah, first I would talk to them about, making sure you're not frying it. You know, anything that's battered and fried, that high temperature cooking releases different compounds that have been shown to be detrimental to your health. And then the portion size you're consuming. So in general, you know, you don't need a lot of fish to get the benefits. So looking for that 4 or 5 ounce raw portion when you're at the grocery store is just fine. You don't need the big 8 ounce piece. And then if you do get that nice size portion, making sure you're steaming it, baking it, or just frying it in a small amount of oil on a pan can be more helpful than that deep frying.
And I was going to say, some of these recipes, you know, that I've seen, you know, that are very healthy can be very good for you, too, because you might be adding some very beneficial herbs and spices and things like that, that maybe they have some other side benefit, too. But that being said, are there some seafoodies, you know, even raw seafood maybe contain more fat than others or things like that?
Yeah, so typically when we think of those heart-healthy fish, we think of salmon is that go-to fish for many people. But tuna also contains those omega-3 fats, as well as sardines, which isn't typically consumed, but they are a good source of omega-3 fats.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, you know, when you think about it, you know, it's like sometimes people will think, well, what about the shrimp? Shrimp has a lot of fat in it, as I recall, does it not?
And it's actually relatively lean.
Okay.
Typically, it's what we're eating with the shrimp. You know, when you're thinking of, like, the butter sauces or frying your shrimp, that tends to take something that's relatively lean and making it more high fat. That's why shrimp can be kind of tough sometimes when you eat it, because it generally has lower amounts of fat in it.
Oh, okay, because I know that cooks very quickly. In fact, you know, just a teeny bit of oil and cook it for probably, I think it's like couple minutes on each side, and there you go. And I mean, it's fairly easy. And I would imagine maybe you find that from some of your patients there too, that come in, they think it's tough to eat fish, but not necessarily.
No, I mean, fish can have a really good mild flavor. Like you mentioned, different recipes you can enhance the flavor of the fish with just some citrus or different herbs, like herbs or spices, and try to eliminate some of the salt. That way you can get more of that fish taste. And a lot of people find that a good way to incorporate it into their diet because it is so mild in flavor. Specifically things like tilapia or cod, they can be pretty mild and can take a lot of the different flavor enhancing sauces or spices.
One of the things that I think might be pretty good to mention here too, I know they have, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, the imitation or fake crab or lobster, but some of that stuff, when you read packages, there's a lot of sodium in some of that.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to mention. That's another reason why we want to avoid some of those breaded and fried fish as well, is because of that breading itself contains a lot of salt. The imitation crab meat doesn't really have a whole lot of nutrition benefit besides just maybe being a non-meat source of protein for some individuals, but in general, it'd be better suited to choose the real thing.
Okay. And I think sometimes, you know, cost may be prohibitive, but that being said, you know, if you're eating the portion, as you mentioned, like a 3 to 4 ounce, that's not a whole lot, is it?
No, and I think a lot of times that's where people don't want to buy fresh fish at the grocery store because they see the price per pound. But when you think about, you know, what an actual serving is and how much you need, it can help some people kind of overcome that cost barrier. But that is something to be said. Fish can be very expensive. And so if you are trying to improve your overall heart health by incorporating more healthy oils and fats, fish doesn't have to be the only way to do it. And, you know, there are many people out there who can't eat fish as well. So don't feel that just because you can't eat fish, you don't like fish, or you don't feel like you can afford it, that you aren't able to improve your overall health.
I think it's the omega-3s. You know this better than I do, that sometimes, at least recently, I've heard that maybe it's, you know, there have been, you know, when you hear one study, you know, eggs are good, eggs are bad, omega-3 is good, omega-3 is bad. What is your take on that?
So I think it's important to get a good variety of everything in your diet, including fats. So I think several years ago, taking fish oil was very much in vogue. Everyone was taking it. We were teaching people to take fish oil pills. And I think over time, we have found that the fish oil pill in and of itself doesn't do as much benefit of eating the fish. And then they're finding that maybe it's not the fish. Maybe it's the fact that it's not something else. And so nutrition evolves constantly. We're constantly learning. But I think overall, we know that if you get a variety of foods in your diet, that's going to be of the most benefit. So not just eating, beef or pork or chicken for your animal sources of protein, but incorporating fish as well for animal protein. And then, of course, incorporating those healthy fats from non-animal sources. So getting in, you know, nuts, healthy oils like olive oil or canola oil, flaxseed as well, to get some of those beneficial effects beyond just eating fish or taking a fish oil pill.
And you mentioned something I think is quite important, too, on the proteins, is that no matter what or, you know, how your diet is, it is important that you get these proteins into your diet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's important to get a small amount of protein in with each meal. It helps fuel your muscles throughout the day, helps keep you satisfied overall. Again, kind of going back to that portion size, some people think that it has to be this really large amount. You have to eat this 8-ounce steak 3 times a day to get enough protein in your diet, and that's just not true for many people, although some, I'm sure, they need that much. But for most, you know, incorporating a small amount of protein, you know, 2 or 3, up to 4 ounces, a few times a day is going to be the most beneficial for them.
And again, I want to remind our audience today, we are talking with Unity Point registered dietitian Miriam Trautner. Miriam, how'd you get into the dietitian business, so to speak?
I've always really liked food, and I've always enjoyed cooking, and it just kind of naturally progressed there.
It must be quite, I think it would be great to see, you know, somebody who doesn't know, you know, what to eat or how to eat, and, you know, gratifying to see. It's like, wow, I turned this person's health around. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people try to make nutrition more complicated than it needs to be, and I find a lot of joy in kind of helping people find very simple ways that they can work on improving their overall health. Sometimes people want to give up because they think that everything has to be, you know, Pinterest perfect, but it doesn't. And so helping people kind of realize that wherever they're at, they can make some sort of change that can benefit their overall health.
What would be, say, one or two small changes, you know, just off the top of your head here that, you know, a lot of times people are, you know, thinking, oh, I got to make this, you know, major change in my life, and I got to cut out all my, you know, chocolate pies or chocolate cakes. What would be something that folks can do that would be pretty simple?
I think a lot of people I talk to, they don't put enough focus on eating vegetables, you know, plants, fruits, those types of things in their diet. You know, really many dietary patterns encourage making half your plate a vegetable. And so even just, you know, this evening when people are sitting down at their dinner table, look at your plate, you know, how much of it is a vegetable or how much of it is a starchy type food. You know, just kind of simple looking at your overall day and looking at that meal and thinking, how can I enhance this? You know, it's not always just taking away, but sometimes it's adding as well. So how can I make this better? Most people know what to do. It's just kind of getting that motivation to do it.
Well, and sometimes it really is a mental kind of a game, isn't it, too, to say, hey, you know, if I do this, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe I could have a little treat on Thursday, as long as, you know, you're not going to eat the whole pie, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's where people get into them all or nothing thinking about, well, I have to be good all the time, and there's no room for error, when that's not how the world works. And, you know, removing that type of mentality can really help people embrace eating a healthy life, eating a healthy diet day to day versus, you know, well, it's weekend, I'm giving up, or it's Monday, I'm going to be strict again.
And probably important, too, to try to get some meals throughout the day instead of maybe having, you know, one meal or just a couple meals, but trying to get more throughout a person's day. Of course, unless it's, you know, prescribed by a doctor to do something differently, but I would think it would be better to try to space those out.
Yeah, for most individuals, I joke with a lot of patients that I haven't found too many, you know, disease states where it benefits you to eat one large meal a day. Most of the time people do better with, you know, spreading their nutrition throughout the day, similar to what I mentioned before with the protein, you know, fueling your body throughout the day, you're going to have more benefit than just one large meal. We all know how we feel after that one large meal, and it's not really good. And so
it's a bloaty feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a good feeling. You know, we want people to feel good. We want people to feel nourished. And so it's not a good or a nourishing feeling.
Absolutely. So your fish advice, you know, having fish a couple times a day, and like I said, unless somebody instructs you not to, it's not a bad deal.
Yeah, I know. In general, recommendations is to try to consume fish at least twice a week. You know, but again, if you don't like fish, if it's not something that you want to really incorporate, think about other ways to enhance your diet with, you know, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and other healthy oils. Found in like nuts, seeds, avocados, the whole gamut.
Okay, and stay away from, well, I shouldn't say stay away from those deep fried fish fries, because once in a while, I suppose that's okay, but try the broiled or try the baked. It's, you know, it's not that hard to do.
It's always good to try new things, but if, you know, you've got this one specific fish fry that you love every year, go enjoy it and don't feel like it's making or breaking your health. One meal doesn't do that. It's your overall focus on your health that will make or break things.
Absolutely. Do you ever hear those stories? What is it? There was one gentleman that he had like a Big Mac every day for 30 years. And I even cringed on that one. I thought, oh my gosh, how are you still standing?
Yeah, no, there are always the exceptions to the rules, but I think a lot of people don't need to realize that that's the exception. Most people cannot function like that, or should they even try?
Absolutely. You know, in your world of being a dietitian, is there one rule that a lot of us break that we probably should be paying more attention to than others?
As far as like an eating rule?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like to put rules on individuals. I think what people worry too much about is that it has to be perfect all the time and that there's no room for life. And so then a lot of people just don't try to make any improvement in their day or in their diet because they just feel like there's just too much to do. So why do anything? So that I find is something that I wish people would kind of break, is that rule that it has to be perfect, because I'm not perfect, nor do I expect anybody else to be.
As long as you're trying, right, to make a little bit of a dent and a difference and the whole bit. So anything else, Miriam, before I let you go, that maybe some words of advice or some tips here?
You know, enjoy the fish fry if you like it. But if you don't like fish, don't force it, because there's many other ways to improve your overall health.
Absolutely. Hey, Miriam, thanks for joining us here today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And again, folks, we have been chatting with Miriam Trautner, and she is Unity Point Registered Dietitian here in Dubuque. Coming up next, we are going to be talking about the Dubuque Area United Way Tri-States Annual Drive. We're talking with Katie Wiedemann, and Katie is the Communications Director for the United Way here in town. And with that, Katie, good afternoon. And let's just kind of give folks a little bit of an overview of how things are going.
So we have a $1.2 million goal for our campaign every year. And what we do, as you know, with the money, we supply, help with programming and basically fund 33 local nonprofit organizations in our community that help with the idea and the prevention of poverty and reduction as well. And so we spend quite a bit of time working with local businesses in the area to run their own workplace campaign. What that kind of looks like is perhaps an employee would make a one-time donation or a reoccurring donation on their credit card or a check, or what a lot of people do is payroll deductions. And that doesn't really seem like a lot for people, but it adds up for us on the receiving end.
Oh, absolutely.
Of it. Yeah, right?
You know, if you only take out $2 a week,
you're not going to feel it.
No, but yet you add that up two times, you know, 52 weeks in a year, right?
Yeah. So and if you get everybody in our area doing that, it is huge. And Dubuque has been historically very, very supportive of United Way, and it's been for decades and decades, almost 90 years, that United Way has been in the community helping, but more importantly, the community supporting United Way's efforts. And so we're historically, it's been a really, really successful, and it continues to be. However, and there's always a however right now.
Yeah.
It's a struggle right now. It certainly is. Our campaign is down. We usually are a lot further ahead than we are at this time.
Okay.
In the year, our campaign kicks off in September and runs, you know, through the end.
Through the end of August-ish, September,
right.
Kind of wrapping things up.
Yeah, exactly.
But things are down.
They really are. And, you know, we can always contribute it to the economy and fewer employees and less employee engagement and that kind of thing. But that doesn't stop the need. The need, Cindy, as you know, is astronomical right now. It's really a bad combination because funds are down and the needs are high.
Yeah, how you put those together. So say if someone's listening and they've never done an employee campaign, can they do it still? Can they put something together in the workplace? Or
yeah, absolutely. And it's really great for any business that they've never done that or never had any kind of engagement with United Way. Now, if there's ever going to be a time that you are needed, that you will make an impact, now is that time. And the reason why businesses really like getting involved with this is because it gives employees another way to really bond as a team that's outside of your typical workplace activities. For example, our friends from Cottingham and Butler, they do a workplace campaign. They also do lots of fundraising activities throughout the year, including our Over the Edge event every September. And it builds community amongst the employees. It builds trust. It builds friendships. They tell us how much of an impact and how people really stay engaged in their workplace, knowing the kind of impact and difference they're making in the community. And they are a great example, and very, very, very many other businesses in our community do the same thing. And it really are really great examples to lead. So if you're a business that's not doing that, or you're part of a business that's not doing a workplace campaign right now, it's the time. It really is.
Or if you want to do something, you know, like some places I know do just like, if they haven't before and everybody's kind of coming back to work now, mm-hmm. you want to do a jeans Friday
Absolutely.
Or something like that. But to do that, you have to pay a dollar to mm-hmm. wear your jeans. You know, you got 20 or 30 people in the workplace. There's an extra $30.
Absolutely. And right? it can be a small little one time like that, or it can be a reoccurring thing that happens every month. Again, it can be a payroll deduction, things like that. We really, really are seeing that need right now. As you can imagine, you know, food is a huge issue. Food scarcity right. in our community. We've been to Fairway. We've been to Hy-Vee. Every time you go any place, you look at your receipt. How did that happen? How did it add up? It's like that, too, for our food providers. And right. you speak to this, that your dollars aren't going as far.
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, I mean, you just think right now, if you want to buy eggs,
Ugh.
Which who would have known that eggs were going to be the commodity that
right.
it is, but when you're seeing prices off the shelf that are, you know, five, six, seven, eight, I heard someplace was not in Dubuque, $8 for a dozen eggs.
You've got to be kidding me.
Wow. Absolutely. So for the food providers, you're right, and we're going to talk a little bit about how you fund agencies and things
sure.
like that, but for the food providers, I know right now, this is a dramatic struggle, because if you're thinking, okay, some of the real basics, your milk,
Mm-hmm.
cheese, you know, and it'd be one thing if the farmers were actually the people that were making the dollars on this, but they're, you know, so that part of the economy isn't making the money
right.
either.
Yeah.
So, and plus they've got transportation costs and things like that. So you think about your food pantries, you know, just the major ones in town. I mean, those prices are up, but that's where United Way comes
mm-hmm.
in to help. So let's talk a little bit about how you fund programs,
so,
right?
Yeah, so again, as I mentioned, we have 33 funded partners
yep.
that United Way supports. And each, in a two-year cycle, we provide funding for these 33 nonprofits and helps them take the load off of them as far as fundraising and lets them really execute the programs that are needed in our
right.
community, whether it's things to help improve access to education or help with homelessness and poverty and maybe keeping food on the table and helping get people food when they don't have it. All of the funding that our donors give to United Way is directly given to our local nonprofit. So there isn't money coming in to,
right.
you know, the national organization, that kind of thing. There's 99% of all dollars raised in the Dubuque area stay in the Dubuque area.
Wow.
And that's huge, right?
Yep.
Because a lot of times you think it's not helping the people who in your community who need it most. And it's farther reach than that, too. It's not just Dubuque. We serve 10 counties in the tri-state area. So into Wisconsin and Illinois and north and south of here, the people who live in those areas are very much served by United Way of the Dubuque Area Tri-States.
And a thank you to our guests today. Folks, as always, join me right here, 12:30 Monday through Friday. So for today, for Voices of the Tri-States, I'm Cindy Coleman.